I think you have to really understand where your threshold is and play your cards right, because that threshold, if you go above and beyond that threshold, then you're being emotional with it and it's a numbers game. So that's something that we're seeing in the market.
If you're interested in how highly successful investors overcome limitations and become unstoppable forces of success, you're in the right place. The Conscious Investor Podcast features weekly conversations with real estate investing experts and delivers a Monday Mindset episode to help launch your week with intention. If you believe success is for everyone willing to think, then do, these conversations will be your weekly rocket fuel. Conscious investors, welcome back. I am so excited. As always, I have the most incredible guests, and so many of the guests are people that I've had the privilege of actually getting to know in real life, which is amazing when we consider coming out of the post-COVID world and everything like that. So today I am going to be joined by David Meadows, and I met David in person. That's actually how we met. We actually met. That really doesn't even happen anymore these days. Usually you meet people virtually, and then maybe if you're fortunate, you bump into them in real life or see them at an event. And we actually got to flip-flop it around, and we met in person at an event in December. And I was like, oh my gosh, you are a phenomenal person, like truly a conscious investor with just a deep reverence for life, for the world, for investing and best practices. And so there is no doubt in my mind that everyone is going to enjoy this episode and that you're going to gain so much knowledge and insight on life, living and investing as we have this conversation. So I'm going to dive on in. David, welcome to The Conscious Investor.
Thank you, Julie. It's a pleasure to be here today for sure. So I certainly remember meeting and your energy was contagious. So I appreciate the opportunity to join the call today and looking forward to seeing what we cover today.
I know it will be interesting. I had to like, oh my gosh, we actually need to just hit record. So for you conscious investors listening, we're like, you know what? We're just going to hit record and allow you to eavesdrop on an amazing conversation. Really, that's how this is going to go down.
Sounds good.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I don't dive into people's backstory too much, but if you don't mind just sharing how you got involved in investing. And by investing, I mean, that can be a very macro lens of investing because we invest in our communities through nonprofits or participation in community organizations. And we also invest through our actual investing to make dollars and cents. So I will allow you to take that whichever direction you would like to run with it.
Cool. Well, I appreciate that. And it brings a different light to investing. Really, it does, which is neat because it sheds more light on who we are as an individual than just the financial dollars and things like that. So for me, growing up in Ohio, a lot of my life has just been really about, my mother was a networker. So watching her network with everybody, whereas my father was kind of quiet and reserved, both were excellent in their being and who they were, but they had a wonderful kind of take on life. And for me growing up, I think one of my neatest experiences was this fellow next door to us, this guy, Jack Jeter. He owned a factory and his son was friend. He and I were friends. And so we would go down to the factory. We would drive the fork truck around. We'd go into the conference room and eat little sugar cubes and things like that.
100%. I'm with you there at my dad's office as a kid.
Yeah. So it made me always want to be an entrepreneur and kind of come up with companies and things like that. So over the years, as I grew, I was always kind of just thinking through different ideas. Okay, what could I start? What could I do to become an entrepreneur? And over the years, I'm sure we'll probably touch base on some of these different things, but it made me think of a lot about different products and always trying to create new things, but mostly solving problems, trying to solve problems to create solutions for those problems. And with that, also trying to solve problems in the world, there's been a lot of volunteer experience that I've done through the years. And so when we invest or give back, for instance, I remember I lived up in New York City for 8 years. I used to volunteer at a church there. And at night, I would stay in the basement where over the wintertime, we would have the homeless shelter that would go on. And so I would help manage that on the nighttime, on the weekend. And we're so fortunate just to have the lives that we have. And when we look at those types of situations, it really gives you a perspective on what value you have. If you get frustrated at something simple, you're like, life's not that hard, really. When we think about the simple things in life, and we might be whatever, just bothering, you know, getting bothered by something simple. And then we think like what others have to go through. So, but from an investing perspective and from an investment in life or in business, I've always tried to put my energy and my time, my effort into things that will solve problems, as I started to mention. And that being said, I've started a few different companies, some that have been wildly successful, others that have failed miserably. And as we both know, one of our favorites says you go through seminars. And so I've had my share of flaming seminars, as Rod calls it. But also from an investing standpoint, I have started a Rotary Club, which was a really neat experience. That was, about almost 15 years ago now, where it was a young professionals Rotary Club. And Rotary is made up of 1 million people all around the world that help their community. So they put things together for their community. So we would invest in our community. And we did a lot of things from our little town called Dunedin, which is on the middle of the west coast of Florida. If you're in Tampa and you go directly west of the water, you'd come to a little town called Dunedin, which is the oldest sailing port on the west coast of Florida. So lots of other little things. I'm part of the hospital. I've helped build the hospital foundation for the young professionals as well, called the Skip Klein Society. And that has become a really neat organization of about 300 young professionals, which is when you can give back in ways that help and make people feel good and do things for the community, it just is a good feeling. But on the entrepreneurship side and the business side, a couple of companies started. One is called Mimeo. Mimeo is an online copy center. So that's about a $130 million company now. And I started that 2 years ago, back in 1998. So over the years, we build these different companies, use some of the money to invest in different ways, things like that. A couple other ones that I've got now. So I don't want to run on until you ask me another question.
Wow. I mean, I already knew you were awesome and everything, but we didn't even get into all of this.
Thank you, Julie.
That's extraordinary. And I love the correlation between your involvement with the community. And I'm going to just throw this in there also before I go on. If I recall correctly, you're also like a super funcle, meaning an uncle as well. Yes. So yes, not only to the community, but to your family. I mean, you really pour into those around you.
Yeah. And my little niece, Marley, she was just in the hospital for 8 days. Actually, she was supposed to be in for 8. She got out a little bit early in 6. And so she had a lung surgery, and she was down in St. Pete at All Children's Hospital. And the Ronald McDonald House put my brother and his wife up there. And that is such a phenomenal organization. Ronald McDonald Houses, those are actually, you can stay there for free. And it's a wonderful charity-driven organization. It's kind of on the board of that. I happened to see him down there when I was down at the hospital. And I'm like, wow, what an amazing thing that you guys do for the community. So, but yeah, Marley is awesome little niece. And I do love being a funcle to her and to Jagger. And then her 2 older brothers, Alex and Chase as well.
That is super cool. By the way, for you and for the conscious investors listening, this brings up a great point with the Ronald McDonald House, which really serves the children, I think it's 18 and under sector. Go back to the episode with Scott Jacobson, because he and his wife, they've created a similar setup for adults. Adults can receive care, and that is how they are investing. So really good, like little, again, contribution type setup. I'm going to go back to serving the homeless in the church basement in New York City, and just correlating that with housing and investing in apartments and commercial real estate and such. Is there any correlation for you is between serving people in the home realm in general?
Right. You know, one of our family offices that we work with, they are particularly focused on rent by necessity. And so C-class properties. And that is a different market for sure. It's a tough, challenging market. But the folks that are behind that family office, one of them had grown up in poverty and wanted to make a change. And so what's neat about how they've been coming together and making change is being able to put kind of like a little library within an apartment building, helping them provide scholarships, putting computers at their fingertips, things like that. So when I first connected with those guys a couple year and a half ago, that really made an impact on me as well. We've done a lot of value add for B's and C's, now we're kind of more in the B's, B pluses. And in fact, we're just buying a new property right now that's just certificate of occupancy is just coming. So I do see an element of helping people and helping to raise them up to the next level. And I think a lot of that does come through in what we do, because it's not just about dollars and cents. It's helping people and improving their environment in which they live.
This is so critical. I don't normally drop so many podcasts, but there's a podcast called How I Built This. And when you mentioned the computer and just like putting computers within reach for them, one of these entrepreneurs that has this, I can't remember his name, but he created this entire skincare line for his demographic. And it's just exceptional, bought out by Procter & Gamble, but he didn't have a computer when he went to school and at a prep school when he was like 14. So we take those things for granted when they're so accessible. Seriously, every one of us right now could probably take inventory of how many old cell phones we have lying around the house, or how many tablets that are really not working and operating well, but we just haven't disposed of. And so like, if we look around our house with the tech available and then we just assume everyone else is like kind, and it's not, and it makes a huge difference.
Right. We're very fortunate for sure.
That's exceptional. You've had, you have a very different experience on the whole multifamily investing realm. And we were talking about this a little bit off air, and I thought it was really fascinating because I grew up in the residential space. And so I can see the transitions, and my husband's still a residential broker. I still have my foot in that world, right? And I see the scope and sequence of, oh yeah, look at what's happened historically. I don't have that long of a timeline in the syndication space and apartment investing, but you're like looking at this going like, wow, look at all these rookies coming into the space. Look at how the scenery is changing. And I think that's really fascinating. I think a lot of people that generally listen to podcasts like this about investing, a lot of them are looking to learn, and I don't think there's enough history out there. Would you mind kind of like just sharing some of the changes that you've seen over your time investing in real estate?
Sure. Well, I think the last 2 years, I think the last 2 years has brought about a lot for sure of change. I mean, that's been the most significant just in the last 2 years, because with COVID, so many things started failing, from the hospitality to the retail to the office environments. And so all of that money started chasing other opportunities, and they went into multifamily. So that made a big, big impact in the multifamily space, because not only with the gurus that are out there teaching about multifamily and having a lot more people come into the space, everybody trying to get the next multifamily deal, but the real money out there as well, billions of dollars that has come into the space, that's where a lot of now that competition has come from. So some of it's going back to other areas, but there's still a lot of money that's chasing the multifamily, which is making it more competitive, making us have to go to secondary and tertiary markets to still try to find a deal that can support itself and be able to have, you still want to have population growth and job growth that can support your business plan for that particular property. So that being said, I think a lot of the changes happened in the last 2 years. Now, I always keep myself like around other mentors and entrepreneurs who have been in the space, say 40 years, 30 years, or 20 years. And so for those types of folks, it is cyclical. We definitely go through different times in every market that we are going to experience. And so they'll tell you, like, if there's going to be somebody coming into a market where we're going in the good side of the market, well, that's great. They look golden, right? But then coming out the other side of that market, they may or may not survive. And so I think those are important things to really know all of your details. And I always like to have mentors you can learn from. This is definitely a team sport. I often liken this to sailing, because sailing is a hand-me-down sport or team sport in many ways. Sailing always has the captain, of course. But when I bought my first sailboat, I had a buddy of mine that he sailed with me back from where it was getting kind of fixed and whatnot to the new marina where I took it to. And just on that one trip, I learned so much. It's like, you always have to be open to learning. You still have to have your confidence, but you have to be open to learning as well from those that have gone before us.
I'm 1,000,000% with you on having those mentors. And especially, as you said, mentors that have so much more experience by decades yeah. within it. Because, and this is why I asked you that question about history, because history is cyclical. It does repeat itself, especially when we're talking about anything that is driven by the economy or has those factors involved. But when we have people that have lived through it and seen it, they recognize the signs. Just like I remember sitting in the residential office that I worked at, real estate office in, what was that, 06. And I just remember hearing the chatter, hearing my dad talk, hearing the people that had been like in this since the 70s. And they're talking, and this is 06. And they're like, we don't know what's going on. We're in a shift. And they were discussing it. It didn't happen for 2 years. It took another couple of years, but they were already like, no, just like sailing.
Yeah.
You can feel the change.
Right. Well, our interest rates, that's going to be interesting to see where the interest rates continue to go to. So I don't think they're going to go much further. Once things start to slow down, we'll probably go into recession, some sort of recession, but nobody knows. It's a crystal ball. I mean, but real estate markets do go through the seasons, and you have to be just cognizant of that and ready for any part of that season, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What are some things that you are seeing out on the landscape right now that you're like cringing at? We're going to dip into the young kid terms right now.
Yeah.
You're seeing it, and we're not pointing any fingers, but it's kind of when you're seasoned, if you and I were to go out on your sailboat, you'd be cringing because you're like, oh my gosh, Julie knows nothing of what she's doing. And oh my gosh, we're going to die if I let her do anything at all. Right. It's like, let me guide you, please.
Sure. Well, I think people are buying overvalued at this time. And so they're kind of banking on the rates, like rentals and things like that, percentages continuing to go up. And so if you're going to buy on that, your numbers have to still work, but there is quite a bit of speculation with that. So I think that would be one of the biggest challenges right now. Like I'm down in Tampa Bay, we buy most of our properties out in Texas, but in the Tampa Bay market, it's very frothy down here. So for the market itself, and certainly like Dallas, we've had other ones that are in Houston, North Dallas, North Houston, lots of different places. But I think the numbers, if the numbers just cannot work, like, wow, I can't believe somebody just bought that for that amount, that sort of thing, right? And so they're really just kind of betting on the future. And yeah, we do have a solid future, but we were probably going to go through some sort of recession. We're probably going to see, I mean, everybody is this build to rent. There's so much money flowing into build to rent right now as well. So there's just so many different areas that everybody is really banking on America as the renter nation. So I think there is the bet that that is going to continue to go. People after COVID, they like this flexibility of moving around. They do like the ability to have, and the millennials, I think, I don't know all the stats. Ken McElroy, he's a guy that loves stats. You know, he's a wonderful one to follow. But being able to kind of look through these numbers and like, is that really going to work? So I think that's a major, major point to anybody that's listening. You know, really understand your numbers, really understand where things are going with that, because that's going to make or break your business and whether or not you're going to be successful.
Well, we just found out like an hour and a half ago that we did not make it. We made it to best and final, but we were looking at, to your point of like looking at your numbers, looking at what's happening at interest rates, looking at what you're doing with your debt, and understanding that if there are shifts and you have to buy your debt down in any capacity or have to throw money at it at X amount of years. And there's just so many factors right now where it's like, no, we're not willing to risk. This is where we can come in. We can feel confident about it. But to your point, it's like, I was looking at the numbers of, well, we have offers at this price. And it's like, great.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be buying this in a couple of years. I don't know.
Exactly. And I think you have to stay true to your plan. You cannot get emotional. I think you have to really understand where your threshold is and play your cards right. Because that threshold, if you go above and beyond that threshold, then you're being emotional with it. And it's a numbers game. So that's something that we're seeing in the market, just like you were just discussing as well.
Yeah. I call sleep at night principle. I like to sleep at night. I mean, who doesn't like to sleep at night? And if I'm going to be sweating bullets because the business plan wasn't laid out correctly at first, but Again, to your point, it's happening. It's happening all over. I've heard some of the rationale as to why people are willing to overpay. You know what? Great. If somebody else has a higher risk threshold than I do, or it's a perceived, not, it's not my life. I don't have
to. Yeah. It could be some of the big firms that are just scooping up everything. And then their overall portfolio is kind of evening out. So I can see how that could be taking place as well. And that being said, that's competition in the market as well. But I think you do have to be true to your numbers and with your experience, be able to kind of figure out, okay, what if? I love how Charlie Munger, you know, Warren Buffett's business partner, you can always say, hey, what are all the things that we can do? Well, I love the story about those guys. The one question they always have is, how can we screw this thing up? Yeah. And so I, after learning that just probably 6 months ago, after reading about that, that is now part of my process. I always keep that in the back of my head. You know, how can I screw this thing up? How can I screw this thing up? So it's good to think about all the positives, but definitely pull in that negative as well. Like, how can I screw this thing up royally?
That is powerful advice. I was reading, maybe it was in Who Not How. I do like to read. I have a book club. But in this book, it was talking about the optimists. And there are different types of people. And some people cause problems because they're overly optimistic. And I understand this about myself. So I am, to your point, like, that's a very valid question. And my partners, fortunately, are people that will ground that a little bit more. Because how can we screw it up? Because you have to look at that. Okay,
For sure. So we
look like cringe moment, but there are really great things available and happening right now. So let's go to the reverse of that question, right? And let's look at, what are you excited about? What are you seeing in the market that's exciting to you?
Sure. So let's see. I mean, I think because of COVID, it's making us all think in different ways as well. And so what we're starting to do is look at properties in a different way. We just bought a fractured, it was like a condo apartment building that was fractured. It used to be an apartment building. Then they tried to turn it into condos, but weren't able to be successful. So we're looking at everything now, you know, trying to be, again, numbers driven and have a full business plan that supports whatever decision you're going to make. But in this situation, this was 111 units that were basically condos. And so we've been kind of, we bought those back. So now they're apartments. And so now we've got 111 apartments. We've got 20, let's see. Well, there was originally sold as an apartment building with 69 individually owned as condos. We've been buying those back. So now I think we're at 111 units. And 22, we have maybe more to go, something like that. I have to look at my numbers. But anyhow, so the point being, Julie, is that we are now all looking at different ways to figure out what we can do. I remember a year ago, we were looking at a Residence Inn. And just today in my little Tampa Bay area, there's a company out of Miami that just bought two of them here. And so I remember a year ago, we were looking at some of those opportunities. So I think at this point, everybody's just looking at, we are becoming this renter nation. What can we do that's a little bit different? Or how can we be in a space that provides a value for people to live where they want to live? And so I think sometimes have to look at buildings in a different way now, in how can we slice it up? What can we do? Things like that. So that might be one area that is exciting that's come from COVID, because now it's not just a boring real estate market. You know, you're
we just bought another apartment complex. Just upload the value add model and let's go. Can we just go sale now? Like, right. Yeah. There is nothing boring about what's happening right now.
Yeah. Well, and over the years, for me, I've been starting companies from scratch, right? And so you have an idea, you try to bring it to life. You put a bunch of money in, you raise a bunch of money, you put a bunch of money into it. As you start to do that, it may or may not succeed. Like 8 out of 10 businesses, startups will fail. Whereas 8 out of 10 franchises will generally succeed because they already have a proven business model. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the world of real estate, you're pretty much just buying an existing entity that's already up and running. You're just making it prettier. You're just doing things that are trying to improve it. And that being said, and of course, not just make it look prettier, but really improve the operations, improve the value, all the different things that go along with that.
Right.
So it's not maybe as sexy sometimes as coming up with a new product. It's this new software. It's this or that or the rest, and kind of trying to serve this new market and blah, blah, blah. And those days have been fun, but I've had success and I've had failure in those for sure. I think that's something that, you know, is also, I guess, interesting to be able to kind of think about these buildings in a new light now. Where I live, there's a smaller little building. It's a hotel. And there's a big back property, big backyard property on a trail. It's an 80-mile trail. And I keep thinking, I want to go over there and talk to them and see if they're succeeding or not, you know, because I've got visions of how I could take that front area and the back area and the different things I would want to do with that. So
when are you having this conversation?
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I need to knock on their door. And so as of today, this Conscious Investor podcast, I'm going to go do that. So that'll be on my list, my action item. So we can talk next week and you can ask me, hey, David, did you go knock on the door? I'll be like, yes, I did.
I can hear is also fun about what's taking place right now. It's that creativity. It's that you can just explore and expand all the potential and options. And it's not that it's people are risk adverse. It's just that now there's so many more options. And it sounds like you're feeling very released from one particular real estate class into like all the flavors. This is a Skittles for you. Like, hey, here we go. Flavors of rainbow.
But that does require then a lot more, like you have to then start to really think about all these different things, right? Mm-hmm. And so today, when you asked me, I read some of your notes, what's the kind of the one thing? And I'll wait for you to ask me that.
But I've got, right now.
Well,
ask the question and answer it.
Yes.
That's never been done. It'll be fun.
Okay. So the question that I always have right now, I've got these ideas. I've always had a ton of ideas, but there's only one of me. Right. So you've got to either, you can't work in the business, you have to work on the business. And so actually, I have another business. You and I may have talked about a cold call business. I don't know if we ever talked about that or not. That's Cold Call RX, but we've got a staff of people that are making outbound calls on behalf of companies to generate business. It's lead generation for them. And so my business partner on that one, he is an SOP, standard operating procedure.
I love SOPs. Like,
yes. Well, he is to the T SOP.
So that business is thriving.
Yeah, it is. And so that being said, he is always just like, is it in the SOP? Is it in the SOP? Is it in the SOP?
Those people are so good for people like us that have lots of ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So at first it was just driving me up the wall, but as we have been using this and growing this rapidly, it really makes so much sense. And so I now consciously starting to take SOPs to the next level for me. And I hadn't really done that in the first 53 years of my life. It's a lot of like, I've got an idea, you know, let's see what we can do. But so what's my conscious adventure? What's the one thing that I'm consciously trying to bring to life right now?
Yeah.
I want to deploy more of my ideas. In fact, I have one of my new daily affirmations is I create and delegate my ideas with efficient execution. So I create and delegate my ideas with efficient execution. So for me, what I'm really trying to focus on is taking these ideas and not just giving someone an idea, but giving them a roadmap for what to do with that idea. And so that's kind of the SOP. And so now every time I start to think about something, like I now think my shift is who can I have start working on that? And that's really where I'm trying to go to leverage myself. Michael Gerber wrote that book, The Entrepreneur Myth, and that's years ago. But I think in that book, I think he talked about working on the business, not in the business. And I think that is so, so true. And it really, if people learn more about SOPs, it's really just kind of like a roadmap for telling people what to do and how to do it so that you can build process into your company. And I think that's a really, really important key aspect of building a world-class company.
Again, 1,000,000% agree with you. So to support that and conscious investors listening, go check out Who Not How. Happens to be the book club book right now. But I mean, it is all about, it's not you doing everything and it's finding the who's in your world. And that is like the most abbreviated version of that. I dismissed this book for a year because I thought I already understood the concept. A little bit arrogant, I understand. I decided that it's such a popular book, I'm going to read this book because it's going to be an important book more than likely. And sure enough, it really is. Even the fact that the author is the who to the person who came up with the concept, who, not how. It's just a whole demonstration of how this actually works to get ideas and to bring them to life. I love that. I just want to record an entire podcast episode because I have so many ideas also. And this is something that I'm learning how to refine. So I'm like, we'll have to have another conversation just on this idea development.
And like you just said, you kind of put the book off for a year because the title tells you what it is.
Well, and I already know enough about that.
Oh, right. Those are just like The One Thing. So the book called The One Thing and The Atomic Habits. So another book called Atomic Habits. And I think what we realize from these experiences is that we think like, oh yeah, I know what that is. The one thing. Yeah. You just got to pick out the one thing. But during that read or during that audible, when I'm using audible, what it really is doing is it's just sharpening the saw, just keeping you sharp because it's keeping you on track. And so it's kind of like putting your blinders up or the fenders, however you want to call it, guardrails. And so I think these types of books, they might seem simple, but they keep us focused. And then they get us to think like, okay, what is the one thing today? What is that one thing that I was supposed to get done this morning that's not done yet? You know? So
I love this because when I was a school teacher and I remember going through school, I think this is relatable for all of us. That first month of school felt like, why are we reviewing this? Why are we going over this again? Yeah. And yet we all need that review. And as adults, we tend to dismiss that. We already know that. And like you're saying, every time we engage, because we're constantly evolving as people, mm-hmm. every time we re-engage that, now I'm going to just put an asterisk here because I'm a person of faith, not to the extent of as reading the Bible necessarily, right? But every time you engage that, you're engaging that with the newest version of yourself that's going to interpret that information in a different way. And so it's important to keep revisiting some of these things that seem so basic.
Yes.
I already know the one thing.
Yeah. And with that said, for me, like if I were to come away with a topic today that is the most important thing that I could say, hey, how can you change your business today? It would be implementing SOPs right now. To me, it's such an important part of building a business. And maybe I had other people doing it in the past, but now I'm really starting to think about it for myself. And as any entrepreneur, whether you're a real estate investor or starting your own company, you still have to do these things because you can't do it all yourself. And so it's like whatever you can do to replace yourself is what you want to do. And so by writing down these processes of what you do on a daily basis to then hand that off to somebody else and say, hey, go tell me if you can't figure this out, but if you can, knock it out, you know, get it done. And I think that's the key to growing and expanding and scaling in a way that maybe I hadn't thought about in the past. So
this is powerful. By the way, this whole conversation has been like just a well of reassurance and affirmation for me from losing out right now on the asset. It means now, doesn't mean for forever. It could come back our way. I actually have an assistant that is starting and the company I'm working with, they go through and they create. So even instead of me having to create all the SOPs, they see my process. They see my system. Like I've given them just the nuts and bolts. They're writing out the SOP for me. I'll review the SOP and then we'll place the assistant that is going to work well with that. It's a complete different way of going about it than I've gone about it in the past. But as you said, like you can't do it all. And if you want to scale, like you have to live in this space where you can continue to create and develop and forge the path versus being in the business doing
for sure. If your processes are digital, you're doing it on your computer. Well, then you can also get like Screencastify is a very simple video recording platform that you can just get on there, use Screencastify, make your recording. Hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm showing you how to do it. And then let like that company that's doing this for you, let them put it down on paper as the actual SOP. So that's another way to look at that as well.
It's beautiful. I happen to use Loom.
Yeah, sure. That's great too. There's many different versions.
Yeah, same concept. Oh my gosh, David, it has been too long. We haven't spoken really since December-ish, maybe here and there, you know, a little chat or something, but like, dang, it's been way too long. We can't let this type of time go on. We have to wrap this up. It should break my heart. But you're so fascinating and genuine and real and just a wealth of contribution.
Oh, thank you, Julie.
So I really appreciate that. Now, you have an amazing company and multiples. But if somebody said, wow, I really appreciate everything, I really resonate with everything that David's saying, like, how do you want them to connect up with you?
Oh, sure. So easiest way is David@multifamilyinvestors.com. So multifamilyinvestors.com. So it's easiest right there, David@multifamilyinvestors.com. And yeah, I'd be happy to brainstorm or talk about anything from investments to properties. So if anybody has a big property, we do have somebody who's selling out their portfolio right now. They've got $26 million to put into a 1031. So if you've got a big property and you want to bring that to me right now, that would be outstanding. So that is something that's currently in process, and we are seeking properties right now for that. 1031s are very difficult in the multifamily space because the timing is tough to work out. But if you've got anything, check it out. So
I love it.
Yeah.
What's the timeline on that? Because there is a timeline. So let's just put a stamp on it.
If you have something by June 1st, June 15th, then reach out to me. So June 15th, 2022, reach out to me if you've got.
I'm going to bump this so it gets released sooner. We give maybe a little more runway.
Appreciate that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. That would make my heart happy if something materialized because of that.
Indeed. Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
David, you are absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for joining me on The Conscious Investor.
Thank you, Julie. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and you have so much energy. So I appreciate all that you do as well.
Sometimes a little too much. Now, all of you wonderful conscious investors, remember that adventure belongs out sailing in the ocean, out on a trail, mountain biking, or whatever makes your adrenaline or whatever makes you happy. Adventure does not belong in our investments. So everything that David has been talking about is all about keeping the adventure in the appropriate places. So if he is resonating with you, please make sure that you do connect up with him. And remember, keep the adventure in the fun places in life. Until next time, live big, love bigger.
What's the big deal about investing in apartments? Why is it better than investing in a slew of single family homes? I've compiled a lot of information on why investing in a multifamily, also known as apartments, will help you reach your investment goals. Head over to 3keysinvestments.com and download the Why Invest in Multifamily guide today.